This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get the latest on the Giants and Jets on WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Mark Belusis.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
All right, we get it going on a Friday midday. Mark Melusis with you right here, the Fan in New York. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Rami and Pete across the way on the side at the controls. Hit me up on X at Mark Melusis. That's Mark with a C. We got you for the next 4 hours, right up until 11 Tiki. They come your way at 2. And final football Friday. End of the regular season coming up for the Giants as they entertain the Dallas Cowboys. And as far as the Jets are concerned, they're in Buffalo closing out their stadium to take on the Bills in all likelihood. I mean, final game at Highmark for Josh Allen before they open up their brand spanking new beautiful stadium a year from now. So maybe you get him for a couple snaps. But Allen missed practice the past couple days for the Buffalo Bills, nursing that foot sprain in his right foot. So if not him, it'll be Trubisky at quarterback for the Buffalo Bills against the New York Jets. But does it really matter since what we've seen from the New York Jets in the month of December? I mean, it could be Rami or Pete at quarterback this week for the Buffalo Bills. And then you'll have Aaron Glenn going out there and talking about the special teams. But we've gotten on Glenn enough this week. Let's talk a little Giants to kick off the program this morning. And got a good show on tap for you, as we do each and every time. Art Stapleton will join us top of the 11 o'clock hour. Talk a little Giants. Ally Anazone from Newsday will join us in the noon hour. Nick Costos, so right around 12:40. And you know, John Heyman had an interesting report yesterday in the New York Post about Bo Bichette and the Yankees poking around along with the Cubs and the Los Angeles Dodgers about Bo Bichette. He'll join us. Johnny, who I love, good friend of mine, he'll join me top of the 1 o'clock hour as well. Your calls at 888-808-1019. But we kick it off with the Giants as they get set to take on the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday out at MetLife Stadium. And, disappointing seasons for both franchises, both organizations. And, you know, in Dallas, obviously, a year of turnover with the deal of Micah Parsons before the start of the year to the Green Bay Packers, and then adding guys like Wilson at linebacker from Cincinnati, Logan, that is, Quinton Williams from the Jets right around the NFL trade deadline. But still, in the end, year one for Brian Schottenheimer as head coach down there in Dallas ends in disappointing fashion. And as far as the Giants are concerned, well, I mean, just a difficult schedule. We know that. But with that as the backdrop, a lot of, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda type of years, where or type of season. Coulda, woulda, shoulda against New Orleans. Coulda, woulda, shoulda against Detroit. Coulda, woulda, shoulda against Denver. Against Chicago. Against the Dallas Cowboys initially. Down there in Big D. Like, all of those things that you say, well, it coulda looked a lot different this year. Obviously, the light at the end of the tunnel, as we discussed yesterday, is Jackson Dart. But the concern you have here is for, you know, the Giants organization, as, you know, you start to get the reports coming out and you start to kind of get the feel, the sense. It started with Rappaport. I saw the report by Paul Schwartz yesterday in New York Post, who does a great job covering the Giants in terms of, you know, most general managers get two cracks at as a head coach in the National Football League. And that, you know, Joe Shane's going into the final year of his contract, that, you know, in all likelihood, he'll be back as Giants general manager. And I understand there are a lot of Giant fans that, you know, wanted more accountability, wanted another name on the list for, you know, going through this type of a season. I get it. I understand it. And, you know, it is not all that easy to make the argument in terms of, based on, if you're going to look at results, and I've talked about it time and time again in the National Football League, it is a results-oriented business. That's what you're judged on each and every week, whether or not you're good enough based on the matchup that you go up against, whether or not you're a good head coach, whether or not you're a good GM, whether or not you're a good talent evaluator. That's it, right? There is no ribbons handed out for participation. Nobody's going out there and telling you, well, you gave it the good old college try, or, you know, you get an A-plus for participation. There's none of that nonsense when it comes to the National Football League, right? You separate yourself based on the scoreboard each and every week. And the Giants have lost a lot of football games, you know, over the course of the last three games, off of the course of the last 3 years. Now, when you look at the general manager and you look at Shane, it's interesting when, you know, it's almost like similar in nature to where we'd have conversations, and I was thinking about this, trying to, you know, attack a little bit different style of fashion. Similar in nature to the conversations we used to have in with Daniel Jones, right? Where I used to always tell you, it depends on what you look at, how you view the player. Because Daniel Jones, as a quarterback, when he was here in New York with the Giants, would often give you kind of, you know, you'd look at him and say, well, he's athletically gifted enough. You know, he could top out at 21 miles an hour running the football. You know, he's got a good enough arm. You know, he's got the acumen to be able to handle the game. You know, his personality, obviously, is very Eli-esque, all of those things. But then you looked at the results outside of, you know, the initial success when, you know, he's being coached, you know, when he stepped in down in Tampa in that first year. Outside of that, you know, and then you had the outlier season 3 years ago, or 4 years ago now, where the Giants went to the playoffs and they had the playoff victory against the Minnesota Vikings. You know, there was just not enough there. Dealt with a cavalcade of injuries. Obviously, at times, the game did not slow down for him. Dealt with a bad offensive line, all of those things. As the Giants co-owner John Mara said when, you know, they brought in Brian Daboll, we did everything that we could to, you know, fail Daniel Jones. But it was almost a case of how you looked at Jones, the player. He gave you enough to believe, and he also gave you enough to where you said to yourself, he is not good enough. And I think when you look at the general manager, Joe Shane, I think in a similar way, you can kind of have a similar tact. To where you could look at it and say, well, if I'm going to have the clear line of delineation, it's all about wins and losses. Well, it's not good enough. It's time for a change. Now, with that change, obviously, comes, you know, a change in personnel when it comes to the scouting department, how you evaluate players, how you grade out players, all of those things. But if you feel like, you know, as a Giant fan that you want that, then that's all well and good. I'm not going to go out there and tell you that. And you're passionate, you live it, eat it, breathe it every single day. You've got season tickets, you're investing your time and energy. I understand the anger, the vitriol, and being upset, right? But if you look at just the results, okay, the results have not been good enough. Now, if you factor in some other things that come along with the equation, well, if you look at the GM outside of the results, I know it's difficult to do. You've got Carter, you've got Dart, you've got Scadaboo, you've got Malik Nabers. Obviously, you've got holdovers from the previous regime when you're looking at Dexter Lawrence and Andrew Thomas. You know, the offensive line this year was not the issue that it has been for the better part of the last, you know, 13, 14 years for the New York Giants, where it became a huge talking point here in New York, especially with this organization, especially when you look at the proud foundation of Giant football, what it was built on, what, you know, why they were able to win Super Bowls. They've been to five, winning four of them. Why they're victorious in 2007, 2011, all those kind of things, right? The ability to go out there and run it, right? The offensive line was a sieve, and they've had a lot of guys that and scouts take a look at, evaluate players. They invested a lot in free agency and never could get it working. Well, this year, the offensive line was not that issue. And if you make the argument that it was more the Giants are sitting here because Shane Bowen was a disaster as a defensive coordinator, there are young pieces to be excited about. We talked about the attractiveness of this job for head coaching candidates. Well, some of the credit then has to go to the general manager. It just does. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It just does. Whether you like it or not, it just does. Now, are there mistakes? Yeah, I think Joe admitted that, you know, Shane admitted that a couple weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, when he met with the media and, you know, and talked about his failures and said he's not going to make the same mistake twice. And he's going to be given time. Now, here's the, and for all intents and purposes, the belief is that, you know, Joe Shane is going to be given a little bit more time here as general manager. Now, here is, if you kind of look at it from a macro perspective of the New York Giants, here's what you can't do. You know, I said it last year before the end of the season, before the Giants co-owner John Mara swiftly came out the day after the NFL regular season came out to an end and met with the media and basically said that, you know, they're going to stay the course with Brian Daboll and they're going to stay the course with Joe Shane. What you can't do, and what you've seen with other NFL organizations, and I think this plays into effect of why, you know, for all intents and purposes, Joe Shane is going to remain as general manager of the New York Giants, is that being in a constant state of flux, even though doesn't necessarily lead to success. When your organization is in a constant state of change, and we've seen a lot of change and a lot of failure with the New York Giants, and even though it might not be the most popular opinion, the lean seems to be, based on the report from Rappaport a week ago and other reports and guys and gals that do their job on a day-in, day-out basis, that the general manager is going to be given a little bit more time. But you can't compound the problem. I said it a year ago where if you're going to bring Brian Daboll back and you're going to go out there and draft a quarterback, you want to make sure that you're not changing everything on that quarterback, you know, after year one. And that is unfortunately what the Giants are going to decide to do. What you can't do here if you're the New York Giants, just in my humble opinion, is that you can't bring in a head coach and then make a decision to change the general manager, you know, after the upcoming season if things don't go your way. And I've said it earlier in the week, I think the Giants have the opportunity, if they bring in the right head coach, that they could turn things around quickly. Like, that doesn't work. Then you're getting into the same cyclical kind of revolving door of consistent and change and who drafted who and who believes in who. You know, similar in nature of the conversations that we had as I brought up Daniel Jones as an example as a player, but similar in case in which, you know, there is not that emotional investment and tie to a player. That is what you can't do. Now, can things change? Yeah. I mean, listen. Joe Judge was told he was going to be given a little bit more time, and he was not. So, I mean, can things change based on the hiring cycle for the New York Giants? It can. And what I mean by that is, and I've said it before, if you bring in a head coaching candidate that's got a vast amount of experience, has got a resume, has won a Super Bowl before, and we're talking more a case of when you're looking at, well, three examples, whether you're looking at McCarthy, who I don't know how if he has the kind of the pull to be able to do it, but if you're looking at a Mike Tomlin, if you're looking at a John Harbaugh, if the Steelers and the Ravens respectively decide to make a change following the season, and either one of those two gentlemen say, well, listen, I love the opportunity, love to be the head football coach of the New York Giants, but I want to be able to bring in a guy that I have a good rapport and relationship with to be the general manager of this team. Because it's going to be my vision for this organization. It's going to be my vision about what Giant football is going to be defined by. It's going to be my vision by what we're going to be offensively and defensively, and I'd be a lot more comfortable carrying out that vision if I bring somebody that I see eye to eye with. Not saying that Joe Shane wouldn't be able to work with those individuals, but you get the point. But you have to have that kind of pull, that kind of panache to be able to do that and have the kind of resume and be that kind of an attractive candidate to be able to kind of bring in that individual. You saw with Harbaugh, you know, when he came back to the National Football League with the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, we saw that after leaving the Michigan Wolverine. We've seen in other instances. Look at the Jacksonville Jaguars a year ago, last offseason, when they were able to procure, you know, Liam Cohen away from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was sloppy in the end. He didn't want to work with Trent Baalke. Trent Baalke was out the door. They hired, you know, a 30-something-year-old from the Los Angeles Chargers. So, I mean, or from the Chargers. So, you look at this scenario, and you look at this situation for the Giants here, is those are examples of where Shane could potentially, you know, because it was worded strangely last Sunday by Rappaport that it'll be on through the draft, where if you bring in that caliber of candidate as a head coach, then maybe the scenario changes for the general manager. Now, as far as the Schefter report that came out this morning, that the Giants are going to cast a wide net for their next head coach. And the names are out there, you know, McCarthy, Lou Anarumo, Jesse Minter, Joseph, the defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos. Like, there's similar names that are out there. I would say this, and they're not going to, there's, you know, talk to everybody and everybody. You learn something about your organization the more people you talk to, because you get their ideas. Even though that individual might not end up getting the job and becoming the head coach, you might be able to pull something from that individual, from the organization, that helps out your organization in the long term. It's never a bad thing to get ideas and to feel people out and get a sense of what the perception of your organization is across the National Football League. That's never a bad thing. Sometimes it can be a little bit of a painful exercise. Sometimes it, you know, you might not like to hear what some individual who's being open and honest, hopefully during the interview process, has to say. But, you know, you learn a little something about yourself as an organization. So I fully, you know, believe or lean into that. The other aspect of it doesn't matter if it's an offensive or defensive mind. I would say this, if you decide to go the coordinator route and not an established head coach, I'd lean more offense than defense. You know, I can't go through a scenario here where I'm wasting more time with Jackson Dart. I've said it time and time again, listen, and, you know, you still continue to get the conversations, and there were Giant fans that were falling all over themselves after you saw Fernando Mendoza have the performance he did yesterday for Indiana against Alabama. And, you know, the Giants are sitting there right now, and it's obviously dependent on the results of Week 18 where the Giants end up selecting, but there is a scenario where the Giants still end up with the number one overall selection. But put all that conversation nonsense to the side. The Giants have their quarterback in Jackson Dart. Now the question is, if I've got a quarterback and I've got a chip in the old game and I'm sitting there at the poker table, right? You know, I've got to be able to develop that quarterback, because that quarterback changes my entire franchise. So if you go with a defensive mind, it's got to be a case where I'm bringing in somebody offensively that's going to be able to develop, because that's got to be, to me, outside of establishing, cutting the nonsense out with the organization, getting back to winning, establishing the Giants once again as a proud NFL franchise, a foundational organization in the National Football League. But outside of doing all of that, setting a tone of what Giant football is going to be all about, part and parcel going along with that is I've got to have a game plan in terms of in a bing, bang, boom, Excel spreadsheet, whatever it might be, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? Run it down the line of how am I going to get the best out of Jackson Dart? Because the quarterback changes everything in the National Football League when you have one, when you have a dynamic quarterback, when you have a quarterback that has shown the leadership qualities that Dart has, when you have a quarterback that shows the personality that he does, when he has the skill set that he does, the pocket presence, the athleticism to be a dual threat quarterback, not necessarily to the level of Lamar Jackson or Michael Vick or even Jaden Daniels down in Washington, but we've seen him. He's accounted for 22 touchdowns this year in 13 games. Like, Giant fans want to go out there. Let me ask you this. Compare Jackson Dart's first 13 games to Eli's first 9 games. And Eli, I believe, got into this conversation earlier in the week, and I understand it's the first year, but still, you want to compare, and the league has changed, but it's incomparable in terms of impact. In terms of being impressive. Now the goal is to get the best out of him. Maybe he has to make an adjustment, and he does, to the style and fashion in which he plays, where he doesn't necessarily have to take the hits. But you can go out there and cast a wide net and talk to everybody and everybody in terms of the head coaching candidates. But one of the big priorities on that list for the Giants, and you can go into every situation with an open mind. That's how McVay got the job with the Rams. That's how Tomlin got the job with the Steelers, where you're not having a predetermined, this is who we want. That's all well and good, but there has to be a game plan in terms of, I've got the quarterback, I've drafted the quarterback, now I have to continue to develop him, and I can't waste him. And the Giants can't go out there and waste time. I've said it time and time again. This is the most important hire the Giants are going to make in quite some time. Given the state of the franchise, the losing that they've got taken on over the years, and obviously they hold themselves fully accountable. The conversations about, obviously, the future of the general manager, Joe Shane. But with all of that being said, the fact that I've got a young, dynamic quarterback in place, and that changes everything for the organization, and the Giants will be an attractive job. But now it's the all-important hire of hiring the right guy. So I can get into the idea of what's going to define Giant football in 2026 and beyond for whoever is the new head coach. You know, what are you going to be? What's gonna define you offensively and defensively? What's your vision? What's your game plan? What is your plan for the quarterback? It's one thing to draft him. It's another thing to develop him. And we've seen enough with Dart here that that has got to be at the top of the list. Because if he develops properly, everything changes. It just does. We get away from the conversations about what the intentions of the Giants are late in the season. We get away from the conversations about trying to tank against the Las Vegas Raiders. We get away from the conversations about what the Giants are going to do at the top of the draft. We get away from all of this. The stuff that you saw from Abdul Carter and Dexter Lawrence this year, all of this stuff. Listen, Dart might not have been good enough at the time to save Brian Daboll. But I think we're learning here in terms of for the general manager and staying the course. I think he's shown enough to probably, in all likelihood, save the general manager's job. Now for the Giants, and as GM Joe Shane leads the, you know, the coaching search, and as they've submitted their list reportedly to ownership in terms of, you know, who they want to talk to, who the Giants want to talk to, this hire is as important a Giant hire as we've seen in quite some time, given everything that's involved. Because you could turn things around quickly in the National Football League. Look at Jacksonville. Look at the New England Patriots. Look at the job that Harbaugh's done with the Chargers. Look at the turnaround of the Denver Broncos. But you got to make the right hire. 1020, Malusis with you. 888-808-1019. Just getting going on this Football Friday. We'll get to your calls. As I mentioned, Art Stapleton will join us top of the 11 o'clock hour. Al Iannazzone on the Jets coming your way in the noon hour. Nick Costos will join us. We'll get into a little baseball hour number four as John Heyman will kick off the 1 o'clock hour from the New York Post. It's Malusis with you. It's a Friday midday. If I didn't say it yesterday enough, Happy New Year, everybody. The final Football Friday of the regular season. Big-time football over the course of the weekend, including a great doubleheader on Saturday. We'll get to your calls. We'll do that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Out to beautiful Brooklyn, New York. It's Ben. It's the fan. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, Moose. How's it going? Great to hear you on the radio.
Oh, thank you, Ben. Appreciate it, man. What's on your mind, bud?
Yeah. So, listen, obviously, you know, I'm a diehard Giants fan. I think I've been pretty much, you know, always making excuses for the Maras because I do feel like they did bring us those two Super Bowls. I mean, I'm too young to remember 86 and 90. But I have to say, there's no excuse to be keeping Shane because his drafts have been mostly abysmal. He hasn't. You know, we have guys like Deontay Banks starting at corner. There's no depth. We're always the record is what it is. It's just absolutely nonsensical. And on top of that, I know it sounds cliche, but him and Daboll really were a package deal. Do we want to try to get a guy like a John Harbaugh or a Mike Tomlin and be like, oh, we're going to saddle you with someone like Joe Shane? It makes no sense.
Well, but Ben, well, you throw in the idea of, and something I mentioned to kick off the program, I mean, that could change everything. It could change the fortunes and could change the job status, whether he has one or not, for the general manager and Joe Shane. You know, they did lean into Buffalo, right? Who was hired first? Were they hired at the same time?
Meaning Shane was first.
Right, Shane was first, correct. I mean, they did not hire him at the same time, right? So if you look at it, the Giants, I think the three finalists for the Giants general manager job are all GMs in the NFL, right? It was Shane with the Giants, Peters with the Washington Commanders, and the Bears GM, right? Those were in essence, the three finalists. They also, you know, chatted with at times the guy that's running the Los Angeles Chargers for Harbaugh. So, you know, all the guys that they chatted with at the time ended up being general managers. I understand. I didn't necessarily look at it as a package deal. when you're looking at Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll had done enough up there in Buffalo to be, you know, they liked him, obviously, familiarity with him. You look at it, when the Bears got rid of Eberflus, did they get rid of their GM? No, they stayed the course. They brought in Ben Johnson. You look at the Chicago Bears this year after, you know, year two Caleb Williams, year one Ben Johnson, what do they look like, right? They look like a playoff team, and they are.
Right.
I mean, they've been the cardiac bears, right? Is that, did their general manager do a great job with each and every one of their draft choices? They did not. So, and I get it's an unpopular opinion, and I understand, listen, if the Giants came out today, you know, and made the decision that they were moving on from their general manager, would everyone be up in arms? No, I think, you know, the general manager understands. And when you're looking at Joe Shane, that he's being given afforded more time here potentially, when in all likelihood there's, and that is not a popular opinion, but the Giants, you know, probably are going to be staying the course. I mean, that's what, I mean, those are all the reports, you know, from all the insiders, whether it be, you know, whether it be Stapleton, whether it be not, whether it be Schefter, whether it be, you know, Schwartz had the, you know, the story in the New York Post yesterday, whether it be Schefter, Rappaport, you throw them all in the mix. That seems to be the case. And I understand it. That's why this hire is very, very important, because you got to get it right. Now, if you bring in a guy like Harbaugh and Tomlin, and they want to bring in their own personnel guy in order to get the job and take the job, then, you know, that's going to be a decision the Giants are going to have to make. I think ultimately they probably want to bring the head coach in.
Right. I was just saying that I don't see, I mean, I understand what their thought process is, but it really comes to show that ownership is not, they're not, not to be, you know, corny, they're not taking ownership of what they need to do, which is when you bring in someone and you've had records of, I could be wrong, what were they, 5-12? 6-11, then 3-14, 3-14 again. The resume speaks for itself. I just don't see how they.
Unless you look at it from a perspective of Ben, where you think it was more coaching failures than anything else. Has the defense improved since they got rid of Shane Bowen? It has. Was Bowen a terrible decision by Brian Daboll to bring aboard as defensive coordinator? He was. And I'm not telling you it was his sole decision and his alone. I'm sure there were other people in today's day and age of, you know, collaboration, that were others at the table that helped make that decision. But, you know, Daboll in the end wasn't good enough, you know, and he, you know, coach of the year one, everything looked buttoned up. I think a lot of that had to do with the ineptness, as in, don't mean to throw strays at Joe Judge, who was on the sideline last night for Ole Miss. You know, as they knocked off Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, and you saw his emotion at the end of that first half where God failed to get out of bounds and took away an opportunity to go out there and kick a field goal, and their field goal kicker is just ridiculously good when you're looking at the Rebels. But Judge was inept. So there wasn't a low bar. It was a very low bar to clear when you're looking at Brian Daboll year one. Lawrence in Oklahoma City is up next to the fan. What's going on, Lawrence?
I bounced back and forth a bunch with the Joe Shane, but when I made my final decision, it was I looked at the talent that he had when he came here and the talent we have now, and I feel like we are just a head coach away from having this go in the right direction. And this year is proof of that, because we had those 5 fourth-quarter blown leads, and 3 of those were against playoff teams. And it's with a rookie quarterback and with no defensive coordinator, some of those things are happening, and with no head coach, some of those leads are happening. So if you get a Mike McCarthy in here, somebody who's seasoned and knows what they're doing, this franchise can be pushed in the right direction. But if we make a change at GM, and let's say we fail and make a bad decision, everything can go left. So I'm not interested. I'm not interested in seeing things go farther left. Let's just get this right, because I feel we are a head coach away, and that's it.
Yeah, and Lawrence, you're probably in the minority amongst Giant fans in terms of feeling that way. But I think coaching was a massive issue for the New York Giants. And I'm not telling you that every move that Joe Shane made was dead on correct. It wasn't. I mean, there are failures, and he's admitted to those failures. There's no question about it. But do you make, if you decide to do wholesale changes, I don't think everyone understands everything that goes along with, you know, then there's a lot that changes within the personnel department as well, that comes along with it, in order to enact the vision of that general manager, because you're buying into that vision, right? And then to bring in the head coach. And if you make the decision as an organization, it was more coaching, that there is a talent disparity. There are things that need to be improved on, but we still want to lean into what Joe Shane believes in terms of this organization and what Giant football is, in terms of his scouting, player personnel, the way they grade out players, all that kind of stuff, right? And we've gone through all that adjustment last 3 or 4 years. We don't want to take that step back as well. And we think we've got pieces to work with. And I've talked to you before. You know, the Giants, you know, I've said it before, this team is not without talent and ability. There were great failures when you're looking at whether it be personnel in some aspects, whether it be game plans in others, execution in others, coaching as well. And if you bring in the right guy, you could be Jacksonville next year. You could be Chicago next year. You could be the New England Patriots. Maybe not a 13-win kind of a season, but you know what I'm talking about in terms of getting back to relevancy and getting back to being a playoff team. Manhattan we go. It's Ralph. It's the fan. What's going on, Ralph?
Do you know, on more than one occasion, somebody wished me Happy New Year March 15th? When is it too late to wish somebody Happy New Year? But I do wish you Happy New Year. When's the cutoff?
That's a good one. You know what, Rob? I was thinking about that. I think you get probably like a week. You know, you get a week,
that's
I think,
pushed,
to be
that's
able
pushing
to do it. Maybe. You know, it felt a little weird today when I came on and said Happy New Year. And we're sitting here and it's, you know, January 2nd after doing the New Year's Day show yesterday. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, yesterday you take a little bit of time to be able to send some text messages out. Obviously, you know, friends, family, everything like that. Sometimes you miss some people. You send out some texts today and everything. And you want to wish everyone the best in 2026, health, happiness, everything that comes along with it. And so on and so forth. Maybe a week is pushing it, but if someone's wishing me a Happy New Year on March 15th, I'd be like, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? Like, that is a little odd.
Well,
I would agree with you there.
You know, I did. I called the people in the white coats to take her away, and it was actually a very bad situation. Here's the thing with Jackson Dart, you know, you've heard the term reckless abandon. And he plays the game like nobody else. And he does that. He wants to go for that extra yard. He tries to get that little extra. And if you take that away from this kid in fear of some sort of a, you know, freak injury that's going to put a wrench into your plans, you're going to risk ruining this guy. And you have to, it's a fine line, Mark, that you have to walk all the time with this. You got to let this kid play the way he...
Yeah, Ralph, I don't want to take the competitiveness away from him. I don't want to take that compete level. All professional athletes have a high compete level, some higher than others. But to get to that level of commitment that you have to show, we've talked about it time and time again, you know, when I've been on the airwaves here on WFAN-TV and the like, right? So, I mean, they just think a little bit differently. They don't think about injuries. They don't think about getting hurt. They don't think about it. None of that enters into it, right? Even as barbaric and physical a sport as the National Football League is. I'm not talking about him not being aggressive. I'm just talking about him when there's time to slide and there's time to get out of bounds, just get out of bounds.
Oh, no, there's no doubt about it.
That will not take away from what he is as a player. And his personality as a player, which is distinct. I don't disagree with you, Ralph.
Well,
it's,
you know,
it's different. And I'm not going to take that away from him going out there. I don't need him stiff-arming defensive backs down the football field. I just don't.
Well, you know how some quarterbacks... Mark, you know how
high school football.
I get you. You know how some quarterbacks play like a halfback, and you don't want to take that away. Of course, the quarterback has to... They don't stand in the pocket anymore anyway. This is not Johnny Unitas, but... This kid plays in such an unorthodox fashion, and he excels in that fashion so beautifully that you have to say to yourself, you know, you got to let him play, let the chips fall where they may. If he's going to get his head knocked off, he's going to get his head knocked off. But the concussion, that whole situation bothers me. Whenever it's above the neck with the injury, you get panicky. I want to throw a Knicks thing at you. You know, last year we didn't care about the – anybody that spoke about the substitutions, we wanted to poo-poo it. You know, he never substituted. These guys were ragged. You know, he's playing 5, 6, 7 guys, and that's it. This year has proved. Now, I was one of those guys, but I've turned 180 because this year, Mark, you see what strategic substitutions can do. You can see that these guys are not gassed by the third quarter. They're fresh. And this guy, Brown, is doing a wonderful job. Now, he had big shoes to fill. I mean, I thought Thibodeau was a great coach. Not just good, I thought he was a great coach, but he did not change with the times. He's kind of like the Archie Bunker of the NBA. But the thing was, we didn't believe it until we saw it. Now I see it, Mark. And I see the difference it makes, because basketball is a very grueling game, and you got to have fresh legs.
Ralph, and the defense stinks. Like, I don't, you know, the Knicks, you got to defend a little bit. You know, you really do. And I didn't like the way the Knicks handled Thibodeau at the end. You know, those that want to go out there and tell you that, you know, that are carrying the water for James Dolan, that he didn't play a role in it, nonsense. We don't have to go back and kind of rehash it and get into, and go tic-tac-toe or go down the line of what happened. You know, and I was a Tibbs supporter. I really was. They decided to make the decision they made. They've been more offensively efficient. They want to attempt 43s a game. Guys are happy because they're getting more touches. It's not just the Jalen Brunson show. Everything that we've seen here, and the evolution of the bench. We're not getting into minutes police. People aren't going out there looking at, you know, the box score and seeing how many minutes. We're not having conversations, TikTok videos of guys going out there logging, talking about how many minutes the Knicks starters are going to play and how this is not sustainable. It's going to lead to injury. All of those things, like everything that we got into the conversation, instead of appreciating, you know, the job of that Thibodeau did and stepped into a tough situation and turned things around. And I just didn't love the way that it was handled at the end. So be it. You know, I'm a Knicks fan. So, you know, I root for the Knicks on a night in, night out basis whenever they suit up and play. And tonight they'd go out there, take on the Atlanta Hawks. No Josh Hardy's going to miss his fourth straight game, do that high ankle sprain. And then you're looking at Mitchell Robinson potentially either going to play tonight or going to play tomorrow. But they're managing his minutes because they want to try and get him across the finish line and make sure that he's healthy enough for the spring. But here's the deal when you look at Mike Brown. He is going to be this is all going to be. It's not graded out based on what you do in the regular season, or how entertaining of a product it is, or how offensively efficient they are during the course of the regular season. The job of Mike Brown, we will grade it out based on what they do in the spring. And the defense needs to get better. As we all get caught up in, you know, the development of guys like Diawara, Tyler Kolek, all of those things. And I'm not telling you that's a bad thing. And I get you have to appreciate the journey and appreciate the regular season. You've got a long 82 games during the course of the NBA regular season. Defense has got to get better. Defense has got to get better. I mean, you look at, you know, the defending NBA champs were Oak City last year, and they were, you know, obviously SGA's ridiculous talent, and you throw in everybody else on that group and when they're healthy, but they were a really good defensive team as well. Defense has got to get better. And we'll see if it does evolve, and that is a work in progress. And that doesn't need to be here right now, sitting here on this Friday, January 2nd, as they get set to take on the Hawks tonight. But it's got to be there come game 80, 81, 82, as you get ready for the NBA postseason. That's got to improve. 1042, Malusis with you. I want to thank our friends at Town Fair Tire. They remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires you trust from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, and I mean nobody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Head out to Yonkers. It's Dennis. It's the fan. What's going on, Dennis?
Mark, how are you?
I'm doing well, Dennis. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. So this is unfortunately probably your last midday, but you opened up the door on Shane again, so we'll take advantage. And we'll miss you too, because we liked hearing you pretty consistently.
Well, I'm not leaving the station, Dennis. I'll be back. I'll be back with you Sunday morning. I'll be back doing the Giants show with Schmelk tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.
I get that, but this is nice having you almost every midday. Anyway, I think I speak for many too. Anyway, Shane, you opened the door on Shane, so let's go. You hit on the most critical aspect. he's a lame, I brought it up to you a couple of conversations ago. He's a lame duck GM next year. So cyclically, this can be a cluster bleep, because if he doesn't work it, if he doesn't work out with the new coach or the new coach, you know, they have a bad year next year. What are you going to say about Shane? Are you going to extend? Are you actually going to extend him for 3 years? And his evaluation, and let's be clear about this, his evaluation of Dart was incorrect. He wanted Cam Ward. He wanted to give up draft assets for Cam Ward. He didn't take Dart at three, took a chance on losing him, got dumb lucky when the Saints, somehow the Jets, Saints, and Steelers passed on him. And the Rams were going to move up and grab him. He did make a good move going from 34 to 25, finally, and got the guy, he should have gotten at three. But he won out because he got Carter as well, who I think is going to be okay, I think. So his evaluation has been just, you know, not very good. And it's fool's gold to say that the Giants lost a lot of – they did lose a lot of double-digit fourth-period leads last year. But let me give this to you. In 24, they lost games by 3, 5, 5, 3, 7, 3, 5, 7, I'm sorry. I mean, 7, 7.
No, I know, but when Shane met with the media bye week, that's where he was talking about the one-score losses. But if you watch the the game's eyeball test, it doesn't necessarily work that way, right? I mean, there was
– No.
If Dart doesn't suffer the concussion, they beat the Bears. Right? I mean, they collapsed against the Broncos. I mean, the Dart interception kind of led the way, right? You look at the loss against the Dallas Cowboys, the loss against the Detroit Lions in OT. Like, you know, you go up and down the line, like, there were signs of this team to where, if you watch the games, you know, there was growth in certain areas. Listen, Bowen was a disaster as a defensive coordinator.
He was, but you could say the same thing about, again, you could say the same thing about, I just gave you a plethora of one-trick losses in 24. It's fool's gold. That's the NFL. The idea is to win those games. And if you're going to just sit on the theory that, well, a different coach will change things, maybe. But it still speaks to a myriad of...
Let me ask you. Now, Jacksonville's an outlier because Cohen was never going to go there with Baalke, right? So they get rid of the general manager and Cohen's able to bring in his own guy, right? Did it change the fortunes in Chicago?
Yes, it did, and they kept.
Did it change the fortunes in New England?
It did. That's a bit of an extenuating circumstance. I think that was almost predetermined, but yeah.
No, I understand, but you bring in the right coach, like coaching in the NFL, Dennis, you know this. I mean, you've watched the NFL for a long time, right? And, you know, coaching in the NFL changes everything. It really does. You got to have the players. You got to have the quarterback. The Giants have got the quarterback, and that's where I kind of led into the other discussion to where, they're open to anybody and everybody. It doesn't have to be an offensive mind. It doesn't have to be a defensive mind. I'll tell you this. If I bring in a defensive-minded candidate that's a coordinator, right, say for argument's sake, that coordinator better have, an absolute – top to bottom game plan of what this team is going to be offensively with Dart, and what's the plan to developing the quarterback as well.
And the two examples you brought up had quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, who I wasn't as high on, but he certainly has gotten better under Johnson, and Drake May, who's been a stud, I thought, from the start and just luckily got away from the previous regime, having defensive coordinators and special team coaches as OCs and having a good organization behind him. I get that. But I'm concerned about the Joe Shane evaluation process. Look, he came in cap hell. He cleaned that up. He brought the scouting into the 21st century. I understand that. But it is a results business. And I think most of his evaluations, or many of them, have been a reason for the close losses through a myriad of problems, including depth, lack of depth, and lack of attention to, the offensive line from a drafting standpoint. The offensive line was better this year. He has not drafted an offensive line, which was his second charge after changing the culture of losing. And he hasn't done that. Look, if he's here next year and they go 17-0 and he gets a 5-year extension, I'll be happy. I'm not trying to be right. I just don't trust his evaluation on what I've seen so far.
No, and Dennis, that's fair. Like, that's all well fair. If you want to say there's not been enough winning, that you want to change, like, okay, you're not wrong. You have every right to have that opinion. You've been a longstanding Giant fan. You live, eat, and breathe it. There hasn't been enough winning. Giants understand that as an organization. They get it. I kind of laid it out in terms of, and now it's a little bit of a minefield in terms of how you handle it. But this coaching hire and the candidates list that has been kind of submitted to ownership here, and when you begin that process here for the New York Giants, this is not a hire to be taken lightly. This is one where, it's go time. It's about time. We got to start winning some games here. Not a matter of how it looks or one score losses and what had happened in 24, what happened in 25 or the coaching. Well, now it's a matter of, all right, what are we going to do? What's going to define us? We want to win games, and we got to go out there, and we've got the quarterback. Now it's a matter of getting the best out of that quarterback as well. Sonny and Malvern's up next to the fan. What's going on, Sonny?
Hey, Marco, I was hoping I'd be up next because it's an honor, Dennis, if you're still listening, to follow you. I think Dennis is the best caller and my favorite caller on WFAN. And Ralph, who was before him, I think is, to say the least, the most interesting call. So hope I do my share here for these guys. Anyway, Mark, I always knew me and you had a strong connection, and now I know why. We have something very, very special and very cool in common. I heard you the other day saying your dad was your best man at your wedding. He just turned 80 years old, I believe.
Yes.
And you know who my best man was at my wedding?
Your dad.
My dad, yeah. My dad.
That's awesome.
He would have been 90, 92. He passed away 2 years ago. So I always knew we had a strong connection, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it's
anyway,
awesome. I mean, Sonny, you understand, like, and my goal, I know you have kids, is my goal is to, with each and every one of my sons is to have the same relationship with them that I have with my dad. So that's great. I love it, Sonny. What else you got?
Yeah, a couple of Giant things, but first, the college thing. My Alabama team got destroyed, embarrassed, I hate to say. But Moose, I got to tell you, between me and you and all your listeners, I only rooted for Alabama the last couple of years because, as you know, my son went there, but he graduated actually 2 weeks ago from there. So I'm going to start rooting for my favorite team, actually, which is Notre Dame, starting next year.
There you go.
And,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, I get it. I understand that. Yeah. Roll Tide, not so much yesterday against Cignetti and the Hoosiers.
Yeah, you'll do the same thing when your kids reach college. The Ole Miss and the Georgia game, what a great game. If we could sign that kicker right now for the Giants, I would do so. He has an 89.7% field goal percentage, and most of his kicks have been, clutch kicks. So, I mean, incredible that this guy is that good, and we can't even get a kicker who kicks 30 or 40-yard field goals. Anyway, as far as a couple things for the Giants, the Dart thing, I think it's a little exaggerated. We got to stop talking about him and the concussions things. He had one concussion. That's it. There's a lot of quarterbacks who run like him. He's a rookie. He'll learn, and he'll get better at it. Number two, the Shane thing, it's kind of exhausting, Moose. The Giants are going to keep him. We got to take into account Mara's condition. He's not going to switch GMs, as recent reports have shown. I think it's the right move right now. I'm not going to go crazy about it. The main thing is, like you said, is to get the right coach in here. I think the only guy outside of a real coach would have been Freeman. I would have accepted him as in here, but he just signed a long-term contract with the Fighting Irish. So hopefully we get the right coach. That's the most important thing, like we've discussed. Get the right coaching staff. We got the talent. And moving forward, I think we'll be in good shape. It's got to be the right coach. And we'll see what happens, Moose. I don't know who you want, but you know my feelings on that. And if those two coaches don't, shake free, whether get fired or released, and then the only guy left standing is basically McCarthy, then we're going to have to go with him.
Yeah, and listen, maybe McCarthy decides he wants the job down in Tennessee with the Titans. Let's see. We're so early in the process, but you talk to, and listen, if Harbaugh or Tomlin ever shook free, I mean, they would jump right to the top of the list. I mean, it just would. I mean, it would just be, and sometimes life, timing is everything. And maybe the timing is going to work out to where one of those guys shake free, depending on the results of the game coming your way Sunday night in Pittsburgh between the Ravens and the Steelers. 10:58, we'll continue the Giant conversation. Art Stapleton will join the program. We'll do that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.